Most kids aren't excited to have their parents come and share in front of the church. But here's the deal. If this man were not my father, as the leader of this community, I'd say, okay, Lord, where is the prophetic voice that's telling our people, go for it, where God's placed you? Be a nurse, be a mom, be a business person, be in the medical profession. God wants to use you where you're at. Go for it. This is the guy I'd have come and talk to this community. And I mostly know the way that God's using him because all of the pastors and church leaders and business leaders where the church is exploding in places like India and in China and in Vietnam, he literally would never be in this country if he accepted all the invitations to go and speak to business leaders in the places where the church is emerging. So it's a prophetic message. And so, Dad, we really receive you today. Really proud to have you here. Let me pray for you, and then you just bring it. Lord, we love this man, Kent Humphreys. We thank you for his life. Thank you that you would take a businessman and that you would put a vision, a message on his heart, and send him all over the world to tell other business leaders and just ordinary people like us that we are the key to your plan to save the world, not the professionals. And so, Lord, we thank you for him. Pray that now that as he speaks, that his words would come with anointing and with your power. And, Lord, we just say our hearts are open to receive the teaching that you have for us today from your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Lance. Just really thrilled to be with you here this morning. I'm not hardly embarrassed to speak nearly anywhere, and I speak in a lot of churches and with a lot of to a lot of business leaders, and I speak to a lot of pastors, Christian colleges, seminaries. Speaking in your son's church is a little bit of a challenge. You know, I just love Bridgeway. I think we're going to do a PowerPoint here. Let me just say that I'm 61, so I'm an old man. So I know that I can work all week on this message. It's a new message that I have on the workplace, and you're going to forget 90% of it by tomorrow afternoon. So I want to get you more ways than one. So I just love the opportunity to be with you here in Bridgeway. So what I want you to do is there's some tables outside, and they've got some books on it. And what I know is that you're going to forget that within a short time. So there's four books on the table, and each adult gets to have one. The first one is Shepherding Horses. When your pastor went to seminary, they taught him how to take care of the sheep, but they had no idea what to do with the rebellious horses like me. And so if you're a leader, you will love the book, and you'll wonder how I understood what you were like. Men only read small books like this, 50 pages. But if you're a woman, you'll love reading this book because women love to hear stories. My wife wrote this book with me. It's 100 stories from 70 Oklahomans, all of them ordinary people. No professionals were allowed in the book. If you have children aged 6 to 12, my wife, Lance's mom, was the mother of the year a couple of years ago in the state of Oklahoma. If you have children aged 6 to 12, this will tell you what to do with them for summer projects. And finally, if you want to know how Jesus discipled the 12, Lasting Investments will share that with you, and you can do that. And then, if you didn't get enough of me after the next 30 minutes, there's some CDs. You can pick up one CD. If you travel overseas, if you work with any business leaders anywhere in the world, or even if you don't work with business leaders, but you travel overseas, would you take this along? It's got 1 year worth of curriculum for business leaders. They can stick it in their computer, and it's got 50 weeks of small group audio and printouts. And then I also know that I want to have more of an impact in your life. I don't normally get to drive across town. I usually have to drive across the United States or the East Coast or the West Coast or go to another nation. We travel overseas 3 or 4 times a year. But I want to have an impact in your life. And if you would allow me, I'll do something for you that no one else has promised to do for you today. I'll pray for you for the next 90 days about whatever you want me to pray for you about, particularly if it's about where you are in the workplace. So if you'll get one of those cards out there on the table, you give it to me, I commit to pray for you because I want to make an investment in your life. And then my wife says I talk at 55 miles with gust up to 80, and so you're probably not going to hear. My daughter laughed at me last night. Kenda called and told my wife, I bet Dad's even going to bring a handout. And she said, yeah. And so you'll not remember it, but there's a handout out there. Or if you'd like the PowerPoint, put your email on the card. So you think, Why would he do all this? That's because I do this for a living. I go free and pay my own way. And I know that you're going to forget it, so I want to have an investment in your life. So if you'd also like our weekly email, you can fill out that. So I'm going to get you about six different ways today. Now, I love Bridgeway. And the reason why I love Bridgeway is because I've got an investment in Bridgeway. We've got six grandchildren here, so I pray for Bridgeway. And we have an investment, and we've got nieces and nephews and all those kind of things. And I love Bridgeway not only because of that, because Bridgeway, I get to speak in a lot of different churches, but Bridgeway is modeling when Jesus said, I want you to worship me in spirit and in truth. And there's a lot of churches that are worshiping Jesus in spirit and a lot of churches that are worshiping Jesus in truth, but very few do both of those. And then, you know, Jesus told us that we're to make disciples of all nations. And churches, there's not supposed to be entertainment centers, but equipping centers. And Bridgeway gets it. And they're one out of a thousand. You don't realize it, but it's an unusual church. And then the fourth reason why I like Bridgeway is that change happens not in services like this. I wish it did. Because I love to speak to 30 people or more. And Lance and others that you have here are great ministers of God's truth. But change, we are transformed in our personal relationship with God, and as two or three people invest in our life and in small groups like your house church, etc., that's where change happens. So this is fun, but change happens in a house church. And Bridgeway understood that before everybody else understood it. And finally, I've got a friend named Bob Roberts, and he calls it glocal. This is a glocal church. That means it has a vision for the world, and it's got a heart for the city. I love a church that's like Jesus, got a vision for the whole world. David Dean and I leave for Vietnam. Next week, I get to go back to Ho Chi Minh City, Saigon, where I was in the war 37 years ago for the first time. In November, we got to spend an hour with the president of Vietnam in Hanoi. Listen, God is opening up doors around the world that's never happened in my lifetime. And I'm glad to find a church that's got a vision for a world and a heart for the city. And finally, it's all about Jesus. Isn't that great? It really is all about Jesus. You know, don't ever give your life for building a church, even a good one. Give your life for relationships, because really, it's all about Jesus. So that's why I love Vision. That's why I love Bridgeway. Even if Lance is the pastor, I'd love it even if he wasn't the pastor, because you have a heart for what God has a heart for. But there's four words in the workplace as I travel around to business leaders. There's four words that God is saying to the church today, and he's shouting these words. And here are the four words: kingdom, relationships, community, and transformation. First word, kingdom. So you see, it's all about him. In churches and Christian organizations, it's all about us. It's all about labels. It's all about what part of the body of Christ are you in? I wish you could have been with me in Latvia a couple of years ago, where the Russian Christians, the Russian pastors, and the Latvian pastors, and the Russians had occupied them for 30 years, for the first time prayed together over the city. I wish you could have been with me in Croatia, where it's 90% Catholic, where the Catholics, the Catholic charismatics, and the Protestants were brought together to pray for the nation for the first time ever. And who brought them together? Business leaders. Because we can go places that pastors will never go. You see, God wants to bring the church together. It's all about him. Number two, it's about relationships. Jesus said this in John 15. It's about relationships. Men build institutions. God builds relationships. In John 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. It's about relationships. Don't give your life for institutions. Give your life for relationships. Number three, it's about community. Lance said, I was sitting on the back porch at our lake house last summer, a couple of years ago, and Lance said, Dad, it's about accountable community. And what I do is I travel around the world encouraging business leaders to be involved in a accountable community. If I speak to a group, we were in Stillwater Friday, and we had 200 people there. And I know that 200 people are not going to change Stillwater, but 40 people can if they get together in small groups. And so we go around the world putting leaders in the workplace in small groups, and then we want to see their lives transformed, their companies transformed, and their cities transformed because they get together in an accountable community. Jesus wanted us to be one. And finally, transformation. Listen, transformation is the result of the Holy Spirit in our life. And if you are not in the process of being transformed like I am at age 61, then we have to ask God to do a work in our life. And if around you lives are not being transformed, then we need to go back to the source and say, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to do in our life? Kingdom, relationships, community, and transformation. I wish you could have been with me this week. I was in Phoenix, Arizona, and they were doing what's called a Crystal Darkness campaign. At 6:30 in Phoenix, Arizona, and in Tucson, and in Yuma, and on every Indian reservation, and on every public and private television station in the entire state of Arizona, it was called a roadblock. Every station donated their time for a 30-minute documentary. Now, why did they do that? Do you believe that one person can change a city? Can one person transform a city? I don't believe so, but God usually starts with one man or one woman. And many times, they're in the workplace. They're not a professional. In Reno, Nevada, only 3% of the people will go to church this morning. It's the most unchurched city in the United States of any size. In Reno, Nevada, there's a business guy there named Mike Reynolds who happens to be one of our group leaders, and he leads our city team there. And 2 years ago, Mike got concerned about the methamphetamine problem in Reno, and he and another citizen put together, he's in the advertising business, so he used his gifts and talents, and he put together a 30-minute program on methamphetamines. And they went to every, they got some civic leaders, and they went to every television station and did a roadblock and showed the whole city of Reno this television station, this program, at 7:30 in the evening. They were so impressed in Las Vegas that one pastor in Las Vegas said, could we bring that to our city? And the lieutenant governor helped him in Las Vegas. And so they took it to Reno, Nevada. They took it to Las Vegas. And then we had a couple of business leaders in Portland, Oregon. Jim is a CPA and Randy runs a production company. And they had never been in politics before. They'd never visited the governor's office. They'd never gone to the head of the education. And those two businessmen gave their life, even when Jim's son was in intensive care in the hospital and they didn't know whether he was going to live. They actually cut off the top of his head and pulled out his brain in order to save his life. And when that happened, those two businessmen took that campaign across the country, sacrificing their lives. And then Jerry, he's in the janitorial business in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And Jerry said, I'm going to have somebody else run my business. And for the next 8 or 9 months, I just met Jerry this week. He took the campaign to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And then they said, well, if we're going to Albuquerque, let's go to the rest of the state. And it needs to be in Spanish, so let's take it to El Paso. And one of our guys who was in the mining business in El Paso said, well, let's take it to Juarez. I've got friends in Juarez. Now, Juarez, Mexico, across the border from El Paso, is the number one drug importing center into the United States. And so they got the two mayors together on the bridge to shake hands, the mayor from El Paso and the mayor from Juarez, Mexico, and they had to get clearance from Homeland Security for 3 weeks ahead because they were afraid they would be assassinated, so they had helicopters up above. And 2 weeks ago, when they showed this documentary in Juarez, two of the major warlords, two out of the three, were driven out of the city, and the army came into the city to begin to attack the drug cartels in Juarez, Mexico. Listen, is that not amazing? And I saw this happening, and none of these are professionals. A couple of pastors, we let them in, but they're all just business people. They're business people that had never done anything in their cities before. But God said they want their lives transformed. They want to see their businesses transformed. They want to see their cities transformed for Christ. And I saw this happening. I said, but God, I'm never here. He said, go see Wes Lane, former DA. I don't know Wes. Lance knows Wes. My brother Kurt, my famous brothers, they know Wes. So I called up Wes and I said, Wes, can I have lunch with you? He said, sure. So I took this packet about 6 months ago. I handed it to Wes and I said, Wes, this is a campaign that business guys are doing all over our country. But I know that God wants to do this in our city, but I'm never here. I travel 60% of the time in the spring and the fall. But God's told me that you're supposed to do it for Oklahoma City. And if you don't want to do it, that's between you and God. I'm leaving. So, and I just handed it to Wes. Wes went to San Diego and he watched the campaign there. And this week, Wes called me a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, we're going to Phoenix. Would you like to go? I said, I don't think I'm gone. I'm gone 3 weeks before that. My wife will never let me go. I went to David and she said, yeah, and I'll go with you. So we were there in Phoenix. And Wes said, you know, we had the four leaders of the drug enforcement government right here in Oklahoma, and one of the top leaders of the education department who happens to be a believer. And the campaign of Phoenix was started by an African-American policeman and by a guy named Art, who happened to be the head of the broadcasters for the whole state of Arizona. And they got the whole state to do it. And not only that, it just happened this week for the National Association of Broadcasters to meet in Las Vegas. And Art went to them when he was at the association the day before we showed it in Phoenix. And they put it on two large screens before every broadcaster in the United States and looped it for 24 hours straight in the National Broadcasters Association. Listen, this church staff will be here tomorrow morning. But 95% of us will be out in the workplace, and we can go places that Lance can never go, because God's gifted us in the community to do that. And so, I didn't tell you that the governor's wife came, Kim Henry, and somehow God arranged for our governor, Brad Henry, to have to be in Phoenix this week, the same time that they ran the thing there. And so I walked up to Brad Henry and introduced myself, Governor, and I said, I'm the one that gave this to him. And I said, I just want to tell you, I want to thank you for your support. He said, listen, we're not supporting this. We are going to do this in our state, across the state of Oklahoma, this fall. Listen, when God wants to do something in a city or a state, he begins to pick unlikely people like janitorial service and CPAs and men and women that are never in public leadership and says, I want to use you. And you know what the bad deal is? Is that normally the business community gets an idea, and then the education, maybe the government, but the last part of the community to join is normally the church. God help us. Well, let me just share with you in the few minutes that I have this morning that we've got a problem. And here's the problem. We have a problem of dualism. And I know you get great preaching in this church. And normally I can speak to a church and 90% will say, Kent, I've never heard this before in our life. Now, in Bridgeway, I know that's not going to happen. But there's probably 20% of you that have never understood this. And I'm going to share something with you this morning that I hope enlightens you. You see, we have a secular sacred divide. Here's what happened. Dualism has infected our minds, and we are unconsciously believe that there's a secular-sacred divide. We really believe that if we really serve Jesus, we can retire one day and then we can be a missionary for Christ. If we really serve Jesus, we can make some money and then we could go and serve him full time. Being a minister of Christ is not an activity. It's not a profession. It's not a position. It's not a title. It's not a higher calling. It's not a special calling. Being a minister for Christ does not require lengthy and expensive training. Ministry is not a part or a segment of our life, but it's an integration of all that we are. Serving Christ is not as much what we do, but it's who we are, where God has placed us. Ministry is not what happens. Ministry is not what we are supposed to do to earn God's approval, but ministry is what we do in response to his mercy and grace. Being a missionary is not more pleasing to God than being a school teacher. And being a Christian school teacher is not more pleasing to God than being a public school teacher. It's why we do it, not what we do. It's who we are becoming as a missionary or as a school teacher that's important. Being a pastor is not more spiritual than running a business. And my speaking to you this morning is not more important than the mother who's at home with the sick child. You see, our minds have been infected by religious disease. And we really believe, many of you in this church, this unusual church, believe that you're a second-class citizen. Responding to God's call on our lives is more about obedience than some privileged separate class. It's more about passion than duty. It's more about our unique background and talents and personality and gifting that God has for us than any job description. And I believe that God has uniquely created each of you here this morning and has called each of us to be his personal representative to our sphere of influence. And he has given all power and all knowledge. He has it all, but he sovereignly has engineered the circumstances of our life, but he will not violate our free will. And he wants us to choose the best. The Bible says, where is the man who fears the Lord? God will teach him how to choose the best. He shall live within God's circle of blessing, and his children shall inherit the earth. Friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence him. With them alone, he shares the secrets of his promises. So here's what happened. Ministry is who we are. Ministry is responding in obedience. Here's what happened. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And do you know what we did? Within less than 100 years, we sewed it back together again. Because you see, it used to be in the Old Testament that only the priest could go in the holy place, and the high priest could go into the holiest of holies one time a year. But what we did as religious people, meaning well, just like the Pharisees, we sewed that veil carefully back together again so that there would be a separation from Kent Humphreys, the business leader, and Lance Humphreys, the pastor. And that is wrong. But after the cross, what happened was God gave us access to him. It says, we have confidence to enter the holy place, what? By the blood of Jesus. And that he has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the veil. You see, Jesus Christ died so that we might have fellowship with him. So Jesus has commanded us to do several things, and I want to give those to you this morning. Number one, Jesus has commanded that we be united as one. In John 17, when he prayed that great prayer for the disciples to the Father, he wanted to make sure that even slow guys like me got it. He said, my prayer, Father, is that they would be as one. My prayer, Father, is that they would be as one. When you go to this morning in Oklahoma City, Lance told me the statistic, 21% of the people will go to church this morning in the Bible Belt in Oklahoma City. When Lance was growing up in our home, it was probably 40 to 50%. When I was growing up 50 years ago, it was probably 60 to 70%. Today in Oklahoma City, in the buckle of the Bible Belt, 21% of the people are going to church with a church on every corner. But you know what? Tomorrow morning, 100% of us are going to be in the workplace. Be very careful that we do not go across the city or across our nation or across the seas to minister to people when God has placed them right in your workplace. God wants us to be as one as we go. Number two, God said, I want you to disciple the nations. You say, he said, I want you to make disciples of all nations. Listen, be very careful that we do not make discipleship an activity in our church and not about the guy at the next desk. Because Jesus wants us to make disciples as we go. Tomorrow morning, you're going to be sitting next to some men and women, and they may not know Jesus, but God wants you to introduce them to him and to disciple them, maybe even right there in your workplace. And don't listen to those people that say you can't do a lot of stuff in the workplace. Let me tell you, I've been to nations all over the world the last few years, and there's two things you can do in the workplace and never get in trouble for it. You know what they are? Love people and serve people. And if you love people and serve people, you'll be so unique that they'll want to know what's the difference in your life. Jesus said, disciple the nations. Number three, he said, testify of my power. We shall be his witnesses. Tomorrow morning when I'm in my workplace, I'm a personal witness for the person of Jesus Christ. I'm to personally testify about what Jesus has done in my life. I need to testify around the globe. Listen, you're saying, Kent, I don't have the money to travel overseas like you do. Well, you don't need it. God has it all. And listen, you don't even need the church to raise money for you. Go to work for a firm and let them pay your way. I mean, if you work for IBM or Coca-Cola, they'll pay you double the wages to work overseas. Let them pay your way. And besides a missionary, it takes them 3 years to get in a society overseas. And a business person goes to the top the first week in the country. Listen, when I go into the country, I get ushered right in to the top business leaders. Listen, God has prepared. Some of you have said, oh, I wish I could be on staff. I wish I could have enough money that I could not only go on a summer mission, I wish I could be full-time for Jesus. Well, you are. Tag, you're it. Well, I got to stop preaching it. But anyway, ambassador number four. Jesus said, you know, when I got to go to Vietnam, David Dean and I got to go meet with the president. She got to stand right next to him for the photo. We had a great time with her. You know, the president of Vietnam wants the church to be operating in Vietnam because they want our money. They want to trade with us. So therefore, they're giving religious freedom like they've never given it before. And why? Because the pastors and missionaries begged them to? No, because we in the business community said, if you want to trade with us, you got to treat those people right. Listen, you have more power than you've ever... God's given it to you. You're not using it. You're an ambassador. You're a full-fledged ambassador for Christ, except you don't get paid for it. You're out in the workplace. Lance gets paid for being good. We're good for nothing out there in the workplace. So, and then he said, the audacity that we're a part of a kingdom of priests. You and I are priests. We're representing God to people and people to God. We're a kingdom of priests. And then number six, and I don't have time to talk about each of these deals, but you can get the CDs and get the book, and that'll tell you the stories are better than the preaching, I'll tell you. So anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Here's the secret. I grew up, and I was one of the better Pharisees around, and I mean, a lot of people built in my life, and I knew how to do this stuff, and I mean, I wanted to please Jesus. I even took Greek at the University of Oklahoma so I could be a preacher, and never have used it because I got out of there and went into business school. My grades went back up. But listen, here's the secret. It's in Deuteronomy 6. Here's the secret. Jesus said, teach these things to your children as you sit around the table, as you rise up in the morning, as you go to bed at night. And then listen, here's the secret. He said, teach these things as you walk along the way. Jesus does not want you to leave your job early to go to house church this week. He wants you to turn around to the person at the next desk who's got a 13-year-old in trouble. Listen, be very careful that we don't get so busy for Jesus doing something for him when he wants to do something in us and through us to those people around us. The place that you can most be used is right where you are, in your family, in your workplace, and in your community. And you don't have to go anywhere to do it. And in fact, when you're experiencing the greatest trials, that's when Jesus is going to use you. But let me give you some excuses. We'll go through this right quick. Here's the excuses. I'm not a professional. It doesn't wash. Hebrews 11, every one of them is an ordinary person like you and me, except for Samuel. Number two, you don't know how evil my boss is. Well, listen, talk to Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar was his boss. You don't have a worse deal than him, I promise. But I'm the only Christian in my workplace. Well, praise God, he's put you there. You know, enjoy it. Number three, I'm too young. Daniel was 14 or 15 in chapter 11 of Daniel 1. If God can use Daniel in a foreign land, he can use you. Now, Jake's under 14, but Jake, he can use you at 12, too. There is not an age limitation with God. Thank God we don't have to get a driver's license to be used by God. Number four, you say, I'm too old. Do you know how old Daniel was when he was thrown in the lion's den? He was not 20. He was not 30. He was not 40. He was 82. Forget about that picture in your Sunday school literature. I mean, he was 82. Listen. If you're older than me, I'm 61. I'm having the time of my life. I mean, I've got 15 or 20 more years that I can go work with business leaders all over the world. Listen, the older you are, he might teach you something. And then we finally realize we can't do anything. It's all about him. So don't worry about your age. And then I don't have any money. Like I said, let IBM pay for it. They'll pay for you going over there. I mean, be the best at what you do. I wish you could have been with me in Mumbai, India. It's Bollywood. Their Hollywood's bigger than ours. Bollywood. I met with a couple of beautiful actresses, actors. I met with this director. The pastor introduced me. He's the number one film director in all of India. And he wants to make films that have value-added things to them. Listen, don't try to be religious. Be what God made you where you are. You can't use these excuses. Well, I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to give you the examples of the people, but I'll just give them to you right quick, and then we'll stop. But here it is. Noah, Abraham, and Rahab, what do they have in common? Faith. If you're going to be used by God in your workplace, you better have some patience. I could share a story with you about a Korean guy that came to Christ 29 years after I ministered to him. He came up to me in Seattle and said, "You influenced me for 15 years, and 15 years ago I came to Christ." 29 years after I ministered to him, he came to Christ. It's going to take patience. God doesn't pay off every Saturday night in the workplace. You're not going to have a service every day. In fact, by the way, please do not take your religion to the workplace. You don't have to take a prayer meeting. You don't have to take a Bible study. Just take Jesus. That's enough. Take Jesus. Don't take religion. Don't get everybody mad at you. Just go around and love and serve people and look for open doors. You know what the open doors are, don't you? Death, illness, divorce, problems with children, financial problems, problems with loss of job, birth of a baby. When they have a crisis, you tell me one of your coworkers that doesn't have one of those seven issues sometime during this next year. And when there's the open door, you're loving them, you're serving them, then simply share Christ. That's all it is. It's so simple. We make it too complicated. You got to have courage. You've got to have courage like Joseph and Daniel and Esther. You've got to have courage. You're going to need courage. You're going to have intimate relationships with Jesus and others. Mary, the sister of Martha, John the Apostle, and Timothy. You've got to have those kind of relationships with Christ. And then, number four, you've got to become servants. That means giving up your parking place, giving up your perks. I mean, do something to show people that you care about them. Be a servant. Become a servant. That's what the people did in the Bible. I could tell you a lot of stories about being a servant. And then transform your sphere of influence. Zacchaeus. Listen, what did Zacchaeus, the woman at the well, the demoniac, Zacchaeus, the woman at the well, the demoniac, and the Roman centurion, you know what they all had in common? Jesus said, "Go home." See, we want to go with Jesus. If I was with Jesus, I'd say, let's get a video of the demoniac before and take one after and then have him give us testimony and say, this is what happens if you come with Jesus. That's what I would have done. I would have brought him on my traveling road show, but not Jesus. You know what Jesus said to the demoniac? He said, go home. Because if you're being transformed by the risen Christ, they're going to see a difference in your life. The woman at the well ran back to the city. The Roman centurion went back to the Roman army. Zacchaeus had to go back being a tax collector, but now an honest one. Listen, if God is coming to your life, take Jesus back to where you are. Don't try to be somebody else. And finally, final thing is finishing well. In fact, if you're over 60 like I am, and if you want the deal on finishing well, if you'll just give me your business card or your email, I'll email it to you. But here's what I found about finishing well. In the Bible, only one out of three finished well of the leaders. One out of three. And in the Bible, most of the ones that failed, failed in the last third of their life. See, don't show me a 20-year-old that loves Jesus. Don't show me a 40-year-old that's going on with Jesus. I want to see some 60 and 70 and 80-year-olds that are still excited about Jesus at that time in their life. And folks, not many finish well. And no one finishes by themselves. You see, let me summarize it by saying this, and we'll close. We need to enter our workplace with confidence and with faith, bringing His kingdom to our workplace. We need to expect adversity in our profession. I mean, how can you expect Jesus to use you when you don't like trials and adversity? That's how He does it. Hello? I mean, you say, oh, you'll never. Listen, just expect it, and you'll know when it comes. Expect adversity. And respond with courage. Build relationships by loving God and loving others. Serve God in the places in our pathway and look for open doors. Listen, I don't kick down doors anymore for Jesus. I stopped doing that about 10 years ago. I was age 50 before I learned this. I don't kick down doors. I just look for the open doors. I got tired of getting my head knocked in. You know, just look for the open doors. They're all around you. I could share with you for the next 4 hours, just about the last month, just about the calls Thursday afternoon. I don't even go anywhere anymore. I sit at my computer, I get my emails and my phone, and I see people face to face, and God brings them to me. You don't even have to go to them. God will bring all over the world. It's amazing what God wants to do through you if you'll just surrender to Him and seek to encourage others to finish well. Concentrate on your own sphere of influence. Don't try to be like somebody else. God made you unique. You're the only one with that DNA in the whole world. Lance, why don't you come up and we'll pray and see what God wants us to do here.